Starting Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph. That's pretty clear to everybody. Then Yashkam was a biker. So the Machaber starts off with Gaber Kari Lamed Baberker Laavodas Baroy Shehehu Ma'ur Hashachar. So the Shulchan Aruch starts off with that a person should really push himself, Yiskaber Kari, overcome, that he should get up, he should be Ma'ur Hashachar, which means he should be awake before Alus Hashachar, and this way. He will gain. Well, Simon Shabir will quote. There's a concept in Kabbalah of connecting the day and the night, the moment when it passes from day to night, night to day, with either Torah or Tefillah. So, if he's sleeping, he's neither doing Torah or Tefillah. If he's awake, he's going to be able to either be learning then or davening then. So, he'll be able to connect the two together. That's a very important point. There's a mice with the Rebbe Lapian that was, he was with Sof Yom, obviously he was his Rebbe, so he wasn't alive anymore. There was a Bacher living in his house. He started getting up very early, so he was quite old. He wasn't really ever concerned about why he's getting up so early. He said, listen, after 120 years you're going to come to Shemayim, they're going to ask you, did you keep the Torah? And he's going to say yes. So they're going to pull out the Shulchan Aruch and then go through Sif by Sif. So you know, okay. So you hit somewhere in Siman Lamed Zayin, you know, Sif Beis. You say, you know, you didn't do it. That's okay. It's one thing. But the first Sif, you blow it. Did you get up? You know, before the Lush Hashachar? No. Like that's like a horrible way to start. So that's why Sof Yom, if he decided he's going to start working on that moment, obviously a person has to know. Remosas Alkaponim Lo Yachras Manat Tefila Shatzir Mispalim. If you can't do that, because sometimes it's not really possible for the person to do that and maintain. Is you know, keep going. Make sure at least you get up in time that you should be able to go to Minyan. Okay. Then the Ramah goes into a beautiful introduction, as it were, to Shulchan Aruch. If you remember, the last words of the Ramah in Arachayim were "V'tayvle Mishtat Tomid." That a person who has a good heart, which he's happy for the people, he will constantly be happy. And the last word is tamid. So there's a tov lev, that's a form of tamid. So he starts off again with shvi sesem lenegdi tamid. There's another tamid that you have to be aware of, is that a kadosh baruch hu, you should feel that you're in the presence of a kadosh baruch hu. So the Sforim talk about the fact that the Ramah has there's two tamidim. Let's say when there's two karbonos, which are called the two tamidim, the Ramah has two tamidim. He has two things that you have to be aware of constantly: is awareness of the Hashem's presence and the fact that you're tov lev, that you're willing to be happy for other people's goodness, good fortune. Who klal gadol b'tara b'maylas tzaddikim? This is a tremendously important rule for Torah and for maylas tzaddikim shahochem v'tei elokim. Those who want to walk in front of a kodesh baruch hu, they need to make a kodesh baruch hu's presence real to them. Ken yeshiva so'odam utanoisav v'asokav v'hulavadam b'beisoy. Person who's sitting at home with nobody there, he acts differently than ki yeshivasoy utanoisav v'asokav v'hulavitei melech gadol. He acts differently when he's by himself than when he's in the presence of a king. So, for us, that doesn't exist because we're always in the presence of the king. And you don't. There's a certain way that you talk, a certain way you open your mouth. Literally, means you know you're sort of like let everything out. When you're comfortable, it's different than when you're standing in front of the king. And obviously, in the front of the king, you're very, very, you recognize the significance of what you're doing. Obviously, a person is real aware. The person is aware that Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is everywhere, who is everywhere, sees what you're doing. Is there a place where a human being could hide? So a person thinks about that. So that will bring the person to awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he will act properly with the proper humility vis-a-vis Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's just finish off the Ramah, and we'll see the Mishnah Berurah. If you live without awareness that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was really there and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was expecting something from you, so obviously you're not going to be worried about what other people think about you. You're worried about the Kadosh Baruch Hu's, what I think the Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks about you is more important than whether this other guy thinks you're the great guy or not. So even though they're making fun of you, that shouldn't be an issue. And wherever you are, be aware that when you're lying in your bed, who you're lying in front of. So when you wake up, you're in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't make sense to laze out, be lazy there in front of the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You got to get up and go do it. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch starts off with what is bar mitzvah of cutting olive. Kilakach nivra adam. So you have to get up to serve your Creator, because that's why you were created. Everything was created for Hashem's covet. Even if your Yetzer comes to try and convince you when it's winter, they didn't have indoor heating, so the fire went out somewhere in the middle of the night, and you woke up in the morning, and the house is freezing cold. So it's very hard to get out of bed. Or in the summer, by the time you went to bed, it was the time it got dark. It was pretty late, so you're still tired. So either way, you have to overcome that. So this sounds like a Musar Sefer, and it's not a Musar Sefer. This is a Halacha Sefer. But the Torah writes this point at the beginning to understand that this is a real commitment. And he should think. If I would need to go present myself to the king to serve him, I would be very, very careful to be there early to prepare myself properly. Obviously, and deeply obviously, I think it's a beautiful thought that where he introduces the idea of halacha, that halacha isn't this dry concept. Halacha is an expression of our awareness of the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a real commitment to understand what it's all about. From that context, we're going to take halacha very seriously. Okay, so you want to get up before the shachar. The Shlok quotes a concept from Kabbalah. That it's important to connect the day and the night, either with Torah or Tefillah, in the morning and in the evening. I was by the Dir Shu Shabbos 9 days ago, and so Motzi Shabbos they had the big Siyum, and then they had Reb Ruvain Feinstein Shlita started the Haskolah. So he spoke about this. He says he would suggest that there was a minig in Europe already, he thinks, but America for sure was such a, he thinks it was already from the Rishonim, that they would dive in Mincha Maariv and they would have somebody learn in between. So that was this idea of Yermi Mechaber Yermi Laila, that there was Betar with Tefillah. You would have, there's somebody would learn in between to make sure that the moment when it passes from day until night, there was learning going on. So similarly, in the morning, that there should be, the person should be, at that moment, a person should be trying to connect the two with either Torah or Tefillah. So even a person is not going to daven Mincha Maariv, the way the Mishnah Berurah is saying it, the Shlok is saying it, would be a person should have an awareness of when Tzeis HaKachavim is, and he should, at that moment, he should try to be busy with learning or davening. Okay. Omiyah kashis armishin also, vena roi tzalishin, yito yodav. So we're going to really see Siman Dalet is going to talk. We'll really talk about the halachas of Netilas Yadayim and Siman Dalet. There actually are three reasons in halacha why we talk about Netilas Yadayim. Two of them are halachic reasons, and one of them is a Kabbalistic concept. It's mentioned in the Gemara, the idea of the Ruach Ra. We're all familiar with the Ruach Ra concept. Actually, the halacha points out that we don't make a bracha on the Ruach Ra, and we're washing our hands in the morning with the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. It's not for the Ruach Ra. That we'll see later on when we get the Siman Dalet. But besides that issue, there is an issue of a Ruach Ra, which is mentioned in the Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara and Shabbos talks about the idea that when a person sleeps, due to the fact that his neshama is not totally in his body, so anytime the neshama leaves the body, that leaves room for tumah. When the neshama leaves the body totally, a person's a mace, so there's full tumah. The neshama leaves the body partially, so there's room for a tumah. So when a person's sleeping, there's element of tumah. The neshama comes back, that pushes the tumah away, as it were, but it leaves it on the hands. And that tumah doesn't leave the hands until a person washes their hands three times alternately. So if a person wakes up and he's not planning to sleep again, so he wakes up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, he's planning to roll over and go back to sleep. He's not mechivah. One second, I gotta wash my hands, you know. And then next thing you know, by the time he finishes that, he's trying to fall back asleep. He's not mechivah to do that. But if a person wakes up at a point where he is really planning to get up, just, you know, you're not really in the mood to get out of bed yet. But however, that's not proper. You should wash your hands. Even if you're going to stay in bed, you should, you know, so if you have the negelbasa next to your bed, so you reach out, wash the negelbasa. So even if you're going to stay in bed for a little bit, but you've washed your hands. Now, since this tumah is on the person's hands, it's not proper that a person should walk for amis without netilas yadayim. The person has to be very careful with this issue of walking dalet amis, not walking dalet amis without washing your hands from the tumah. The Zohar talks about this tremendous punishments which will come upon a person who does that. Ki humash alatzim ruach atuma. Ruach atuma is the absence of the kedusha, and a person will allow that to remain on him is totally incorrect. See, Mishnah is very strong about this issue of not walking dalet amos. We'll see maybe some coolers in it. Okay, mikol malkum chalila laver shum iser avur keser until zadaim, but you should not be over any aveira because of the lack of having a way to wash your hands. For example, he gives two examples. We'll see later on that a person who needs to relieve himself and he refrains from relieving himself, he's over an isser. There's an isser about the shaksu. So if a person says, I can't wash my hands, I can't go to the bathroom, I'm trying to go get water. By the time he gets the water, meanwhile, he's refraining from going to the bathroom, that would not be proper either. So you have water right away, so you wash and you go to the bathroom. But if a person, when it needs to go, start searching for the water, that might cause him not to go to the bathroom, that would be improper to do. So better he should go to the bathroom and then wash his hands afterwards.
Nowadays, with the sinks available, what would be the
then? Well, it's very rare that you would have such an issue that it would be very easy to wash your hands and then use the bathroom. He's saying, you know, there's no water, you had to go out to the well, but by the time you come back to drawing the water from the well, it's a whole big thing. Meanwhile, you're not using the bathroom, that would be improper. So you shouldn't do that. Or, alikach maim sheikhin chavera avuratzim. So you have your, you know, the, so we remember we have roommates, and, you know, roommates back in the dorm in yeshiva. So he prepared his water. I forgot to prepare my water. Because, well, he has water. Great. So I'll use his water. Excuse me. You know, that's called gzeila. Right? But yeah, but you can't walk down an amis. You know, that's still called gzeila. Imlo, shaborosh lo sheiten tekev tumurosim acherim. Unless I'm totally confident that I'm going to be able to replace it immediately. Now, this is fascinating that Reuven would actually have this aura. The Gemara says that a person steals with intention to repay is still called gzeila. Now, the Gemara says that, not only that, the Gemara says if a person steals, I have a neighbor, he's a poor person, and he's very proud, he doesn't want to take any stock. So I have a great idea, I'll be a ganav, a ganav pays kefil. I'll be a ganav, and I'll take, you know, the $1,000 that he has. I'll make sure that there's two anyone will watch me do it. I'll get caught in bed, and I'll pay him $2,000. I'll embarrass myself with the mice. I was able to give this person stuck in a beautiful way. The more says you're ever allowed the rice of stealing. That's beautiful. It's a nice gesture, but you're still over this. You're over this. Lo signoiv. You stole. So, the fact that you're going to pay back is not, you know, even if you're planning to pay back double, doesn't make it mutter. So how can Mr. Brewer say over here that you could take it?
If you know
if you're going to replace it. So what's that about? So he suggested maybe the pshat, Mr. Brewer, this is Reuven. Reuven finds in Shlita. He suggested maybe the pshat over here was, whereas in the average case, the person needs the item specifically, planning to use the item specifically. Over here, the water's going to go out. It's going to be thrown out, basically. It's a question. He needs it for that moment. It's not that he has any specific usage of this specific water. He just needs water per se. It's not like, you know, he likes special water to wash his hands with. You know, it's water is water. The main thing is that he has it available. So if I know I'm going to be able to make sure that he has that, so then we would assume that there's no problem with that. Now, it's still Kiddush. To understand the Mishnah exactly where that came from.
You could say that with money, too. Money is money. So basically, if the guy is sleeping and someone says, you know, and he has to use the money quickly, and he knows that he'll put it back before the guy wakes up.
Yeah, it's still awesome. It's still awesome. Right, I understand.
And the money is fungible. It's the same. I mean, the guy will...
I think his point over here is, besides the fact that it's the water is, you know, fungible in that sense, but it's chaduch li'ibud. It's going to be thrown out. In other words, his point was... he has no specific, you know, he has no interest in it per se, just for that moment of using it. Afterwards, he's going to throw it out also.
Yeah.
So that's what he's suggesting. Now, there is a concept in halacha of, if when it comes to gzela, if I'm confident that the person would agree that I should use it. Mm-hmm. So now, that has a very specific limitation like this.
Barring filling or something.
So there's a gemara where it has a machlekes and a gemara of yish lemidas, have a yish, lo have a yish. Yish lemidas means, I know that if you were aware of it, you would agree. But meanwhile, you're not aware of it and you didn't agree. So Rava says, fine, but since if you would know, you would agree, that's called you've agreed. Abai says, no. The fact that if you would know, you would agree is not enough. You have to know and agree. Right. We pass on like Abai. So therefore the Shach says in the Hilchos Gzeila, let's say I'm very friendly with you and I know that you wouldn't mind if I take something from your house. Right? So if you've given me specific reshus and say, whatever you come to my house, take whatever you want, so you give me a reshus. No, you didn't do that. But I'm confident that if you wouldn't realize that it's Eli Rangel in your house, you'd say, yeah, for sure, you should take. But you don't know that Eli Rangel's in your house. Right? So, but if you would know, you would agree. That's not enough. That's Yish Lamidas. Yish Lamidas, lo have a Yish. What would work is there's a concept where the Gemara talks about this, is what's called Zutul Shayam. Everybody in that circumstance would agree to it. It's so minimal, it's so insignificant, and so any person under the circumstances, it's not because it's Eli Rangel who agreed to it. But Yankel Baruch Shmerel, he'd also agree to it. It's not because it's me specifically. It's any person who'll be there. Of course I would want them to take a drink of water in my house. You know, the 3 cents it costs to get a little bit of water, he should take a drink in my house. Says, no, don't take a drink of water in my house. Obviously, I'm asking you to take it. You know, I don't have to ask for sure. So you come to their house and think, can I take a drink of water from the sink? When I want to go into your fridge, I take something out of the fridge. So that I would need reshus. So I can't rely on the fact that if I know, they tell the guys in the dorm. So, well, I'm very friendly with Stones. He wouldn't mind if I take something from his church, but that's not good enough because I didn't ask him reshus. But if he would know it's me, he would agree. That's exactly what's not doesn't work. If he would know that it's me. But if it's something which it's obvious that he would agree for any person, whoever it might be, that's going to work. So that's probably the pshat in this Mr. Bura. That since the water is going to be replaced, I really wouldn't care the fact that you should take it. That's an assumption which any person under those circumstances would agree to. That's why it's not called gzeilu.
But what about the fact that it's also the Devar Mitzvah? In other words, obviously it still doesn't excuse stealing, but if he's going to get it back, is it like any different from borrowing somebody's tefillin?
So that's a case of shoyel. This is a case of taking. You know, shoyel, this is totally taking it and replacing it. We actually show them that some people are careless in this point. Okay, the water's not there, and there's nobody who could bring it to you. So Nogu Ksas Mivali Nefish, Shaholkim Pachas Mir Bahamas. It says you're not supposed to go Dalai Amas. So the answer is you go less than 4 amas and you stop, and you go less than 4 amas and you stop. Like you find by Hilchos Shabbos, such a concept. So that's what they do. Because of Shari Tshuva Al Zedlin here, the Shari Tshuva over here in Sivkat and Bay said that's wrong. The point over here is not keeping this tumah on your hands. So the goal is not to go slowly, the goal is to go as quickly as possible. So if you need to go Dalai Amas, you go Dalai Amas, but don't go 3 amas and stop and go another 3 amas. Run as quickly as possible to get it off of your hands. There are some who would suggest, this is a quote from the Shari Tshuva, that we will apply the concept of a Gemara. There's a Gemara in Brachas in the third parak. The Gemara says there's a concept that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that we deal with the whole base over there. The base meant the room, didn't mean the house. Because their house was one room, right? Kula beso kedalad amas means the whole room is like dalad amas. So this whole room, because they're like dalad amas. Now, Rav Shimon Elazar said it over there, l'chumra. There's certain halachas that you have to keep a distance from Erva and Soya, and when the shear was dalad amas, he says, no, the whole room was like dalad amas. That's a chumra that he was saying. So some want to suggest over here as a leniency. Well, it's the limit is Dalai Amas. The sink is all the way over there. The water's all the way over there. It's all Dalai Amas. He says, so that's some people suggest. He says, you should not rely on this only in case of necessity. It's even also more important because we don't pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar in that Gemara. So it'd be interesting to say that we would follow him. I just want to show you a very cute... I wonder if they have it over here. They corrected in this one. They corrected in this one. And the old Mishaburas, it says that it's a quote from, this is a quote from Shus Yaakov, so the Shara Truba brings it. And some people, they're relying on Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And the old Mishnah Berurah, it says, the Ha Rashba Sir Levi Brachas. Now, it's not the Rashba. The Rashba is Rav Shimon ben Adaris, who was one of the Rishonim. It's Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who was one of the Tanoim. So, but in the old Mishnah Berurah, it was printed Harash, but it's like, you know, you probably have it in your Shari Tshuva. You have it in the like the line before the right before the last narrow line. It says the Ho Harashba in the Shari Tshuva and the Sukkot and Beis. So it's I remember it was funny to see how many people would cop that that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Now the new ones, they may take all the fun out of everything. They correct it for you. Im erish kishemaskin b'laylish ein l'mayim litol yodav sholosh pomim kiroy lahabaruch atuma. If a person wakes up in the night time, he doesn't have water to be able to wash his hands three times, which takes away the tuma. Avu became chalila loy levatol midivrei Torah mishum zeh atchiyar hayoyim. So once it gets light, you can go outside safely and get and draw water from the well. No, you shouldn't wait. Well, I can't learn. I can't wash my hands. That's improper. El yitumat, you'll wash as much as you were able to. Or you'll wipe your hands off and anything which removes. So we'll see later on in Siman Dalet that one of the reasons why we wash our hands in the morning, besides this issue of tumah, is our hands are dirty during the nighttime. A person's hand that touched parts of your body, then the hands are considered not clean in regards to learning, davening, etc. So for that purpose, you can wipe it off on a cloth. You can remove that zuama that's on your hands, that sweatiness, etc., which is on your hands, by wiping off on anything. You don't need water for that specifically. So for the purpose of davening, and the purpose of learning, saying brachas, the ruach tumah doesn't prevent you from davening, learning, and saying brachas. The ruach tumah is an issue of tumah. Right? But in regards to learning and davening, you clean your hands properly, and you can daven. You can learn. So then the morning comes, you'll say a bracha, you'll learn. Like the Gemara says, that doesn't stop you from doing these things. Now, at some point in time, you have to wash your hands or remove the tumah. That's a separate issue. The Veld is not machmer on this halacha of Dalet Amos. Many people are not machmer on this halacha of not going Dalet Amos, having the water right next to your bed, etc. So I'll tell you, fascinating. First of all, interesting. My Rebbe, you know, when I was a Bachur in Yeshiva, so I was Mishnah Berurah, so I started washing by my bed. So of course, my roommates, you know, raised the question. You know, it's very nice. You want to be machmer, but you wash your, you know. Of course, I got up before he did. I had this mishagasa getting up early, even in those days. Not as early as I get up now, but you know. But for Hebrew, getting early doesn't mean so much, you know, either. But so I said, you know, you're washing and you're splashing the water. But it bothers me. So it's Gezel Shina. And Mishnah Berurah says, you can't be Arvani Yisr for being Machmed on washing. So we went to my Rebbe to ask the Shiloh.
Must have been a light sleeper.
That way he wasn't a Shiva Bacher. So I went to my Rebbe and asked him, we went to my Rebbe and asked him the Shiloh. So he said that part of, you go, you know, if it's preferred in Halacha, and you're part of being a Shiva Bacher is trying to do Halacha properly. So he, by becoming my roommate, has committed to allow me to do Halacha properly. So he's going, he has agreed by being my roommate to allow me to wash by the bed. That's what, so when we got married, my wife asked me, are you going to wash by the bed? I said, my Rebbe said that part of the marriage is that you agree that I'm going to wash by the bed. So that's what we do. But there is a fascinating, I tell you, I heard this from Rabbi Hopp for Shlita. He said this over once by a Nino Sachag, that the Vilna Goyen says that the Alti Yerushalmis, which are from the Tamidi Agroa, they have a Masar from the Groa about this issue. That the Goyen said the following. You're familiar, there's a famous story that there was a Ger Tzedek in the time of the Vilna Goyen, the Graf Patatsky. So this person who was, his father was the most wealthy landowner of all of Polish Lithuania, that area. And his son was already in the priesthood, eventually became a Ger Tzedek. And he was killed on Kiddush Hashem. He was killed on Kiddush Hashem to the extent that the Vilna Goyen went, using Kabbalah, went to him in the prison and told him he could use Kabbalah to get him out of and save his life. And he refused. And he said that the schus to be able to be killed on Kiddush Hashem, I don't want to lose such a schus, and I'd rather not use Kabbalah for that purpose, and I'll be killed on Kiddush Hashem. Which, we hear the story. You have the picture in Europe. Nobody became a Ger Tzedek. No goy became a Yid. and a guy was a priest who was the wealthy landowner. Nobody, it doesn't happen. And then he could be saved that he killed himself a kiddush Hashem. You know, it was lo yeuman. The story goes, we have a Masar from the Yisod Rishosh Avoida, who was one of the big Balei Avoida in Europe, that so obviously when they took him out to be killed, all the Yidden hid. Because this is ripe for a pogrom. You know, this guy became a Jew, you know, and they're burning him, they're gonna then attack all the Jews. So all the Yidden were hiding, they were, you know, scared, who knows what. This is in Vilna. Right? You know, Vilna, the ear of Aim of Klai, so they went into hiding. But the Shadrach Shavuot said to see the Ger Tzedek being killed, the Kiddush Hashem, you know, the schus of that Kedusha, to see it, he wanted to see. See, he hid in some, you know, behind some bushes, and he hid. And the Ger Tzedek on the way composed a nigun. It started from the words of Avol Anachnu Chabanei B'Secha. We say in the morning, La'olam Hayodam. That paragraph, he says, Avol Anachnu Chabanei B'Secha. He sang that, he composed a nigun all the way to Baruch Atah Hashem, Kadesh Hashem Chabar Abim, and then he was killed. He sang the nigun on the way, being walked to there. So Vilna Gaon said that the kedusha that he produced in the all of the different olamis weakened the Kach of Tuma. And this issue of washing by your bed is no longer significant because the Kaichatum is no longer as strong as it used to be. After the mice of the Kiddush Hashem of the Ger Tzedek. So the Yerushalmi, the Tamid Ergroa and Yerushalayim have a Masara from the Goyim. They're not makvet to wash by their bed. They have a Masara from the Goyim that the Goyim said. Now the Goyim was very makvet on it. But they have a Masara like that. So the mice is an awesome mice to hear, you know, what it was. There's also, actually, there's a Marshal. The Marshal in the in a tshuva, does talk about, there's other yonim of tuma, you know, tuma with these type of things, which he says that it was nishano tivim, we don't have the same level of tuma they used to have. Because you see the Mor says over there that the person would touch these things, person who didn't wash his hands would touch his eyes, it would affect the eyes, it would affect the hearing, it would affect the food. We don't see that happening, because apparently the maybe our kedusha isn't such big kedusha, so our tuma isn't such big.
Everything has to balance.
So our tuma isn't such big tuma. So that's why the minigolem seems to be. But that being said, the Mishaburah does pass that it's something a person should try to be careful with.
Maybe your roommate was also one of the family.
Maybe. Okay. I just want to tell you one thing. You know, just Reb Reuven said over another mice by when he was speaking. He said over all of the years that he was a rabbi under his father, the Reb Moshe. So Reb Moshe only called one time. Only one time did he call a meeting of all the Rebbeim. And it was in the following situation.
The Rebbeim
of the Yeshiva. The Rebbeim of the Yeshiva of MTJ. Yeah. One time he called a meeting of all the Rebbeim. It says, you know, the minute Haskalos Gemara, you start Gemara with Eilu Metzias. That's the standard of Messiah and Klai. You start Gemara with Eilu Metzias. So someone came along, you know, in the world of education, the idea of it should be relevant. So somebody came in the world of chinuch and said, well, if it's relevant, and that's relevant and so important that the kids relate to it better, so let's start with brachas. Mm-hmm. Kids relate to brachas, you know, they daven, they say Shri Shema, they daven, brachas, and Veda is not so common, etc. Reb Moshe was very upset. And he called a meeting of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva. And he said, you should know that the minig of learning Eilu Metzias, etc. Eilu Metzias, has been in Masara Klaiso for hundreds of years. And the reason is the following. He said, gave two reasons. He said, number one, a child learns 7 or 8 Blatt of Gemara the first year. And by the time he's finished learning the 7 or 8 Blatt of Gemara, he's heard it over a few thousand times, you can't take something which is not yours. That's the first Lakuta. It's banged into his head, you can't take something which is not yours. The second thing he says, so you learn brachas. So what happens? You learn brachas. So you learn this. It's Man Kriya Shema. No, it was 1962. The shul davens at Shabbos morning at 9:30. And they don't say Kriya Shema beforehand. That wasn't like the nowadays they announced, but it's Man Kriya Shema beforehand. So what does the kid learn? It says that the Gemara is not Kriya Shema. But the mice, we don't do that. Right? He says, my tata doesn't do it. And my tata, the Rav says, my tata is a fine yid. Vice versa, we don't do that. So he learns, again and again, you learn through the Mesetis Brachas, you know. The Mor says a person who wants to be a chassid, he's mekamili the brachas. Keeping brachas, it's not, so he's not doing it. So the lesson is b'dafas right, yishta. That's the lesson. We don't, you know, that's the luck, and we don't do these things. So the first part of I've heard this from Reuven, b'shem Reuven before. The next part he likes was the following story, which I never heard before. He's a rabbi. One day, The boy had borrowed a tape recorder from another boy, and it had a strap. So the borrower, the shoyl, was playing with the strap, and the tape recorder flew out of his hands, hit the wall, smashes, falls down to the ground, broken. So he comes to his Rebbe, says, "I have to pay." So Reuven looks at him and says, "You know, well, what was your status while you had that item?" He says, "I was a shoyl." Says, "And what are the responsibilities of a shoyl?" He's chayv, even if it's oinus. Says, "And were you an oinus?" He says, "No, I was a pesheya." Okay. So you have your answer, right? So the boy walks away, and Reuven is like banging his head. Like, what was the question? Like, you learned the Gemara. See, he was so bothered by it, he went to ask his father, "What's pshat?" So the merchant says, I can guarantee you this boy, ask him what masechta he learned when he started Gemara, and he'll tell you that he learned masechta's brachas. So he asked the boy, it's not going to say he learned masechta's brachas. And he learned, what you learn in Gemara is irrelevant. That's why he didn't understand that what you learn has a halacha l'maaseh. That was the story that he said. Was, whoa. So we're learning in this Mishnah Berurah over here, and the first Mishnah Berurah talks about b'machaber yom alayla, the dalet abis, you know, yeah, nish, we don't do these things. So already starting off, we're learning that it's irrelevant. Please don't do that. Okay. That was, I think, his point in his Eskola. We shouldn't start off with the first Mishnah Berurah. Siman Aleph is pretty holy. I just want to warn you. Siman Aleph is a pretty holy siman. And maybe we're not there yet, but we should understand we should be getting there. Okay. Shatir Mispalim Gimel. Hainu Afal Pishal Yabra Zman Tfila Mikomoka Mitzi Matzibur. Even though you're not going to miss the time for davening, we should know that you should daven with the minion. Okay, then comes along the Ramah. The Ramah says you should have a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in front of you. Feel the Hashem's presence. Because of Hashem Arizal, again, I told you this is a pretty holy siman. The Rizal says the following: Sheyitzar Shem Havaya Tomid Negrein. You should picture Hashem's name in front of your face. Benikud Yira, as if we have Hashem's name. We don't know the correct way to actually pronounce Hashem's name. When you see Hashem's name written with the kudas under it, so the kudas are of the name of Hashem. How we pronounce it? Hashem. We pronounce Hashem's name with adnus. So it's a ah, and then it's a do, o, and then it's an oi. So under the Shem Hashem, you put those letters. Not because that's the letters that belong under Hashem's name. That's how we pronounce it with those vowels. So there's a religion over there which took the name as written like that, and they totally didn't get it. It's not Hashem's how it's pronounced. We don't know how it's pronounced, but there is a concept in Kabbalistically you could put different types of vowelizations under Hashem's name, and they are valid. So you could take the vowelization of the word Yira. And picture Hashem's name with those vowels. So there's going to be a chirik under the yud, and there's going to be a shvo under the hay, and a komatz under the vav. Kazeh. And that's the picture. So when you picture that in front of your eyes, the Rizal says, it helps you have Yir Shemai. If a person wants to develop his Yir Shemayim, this helps. So you thought that Chofetz Chaim was this he's a Bal Kabbalah, you know. V'yeshoy regilim achvazel lasus menoris shal klaf mitzurim laniach besidurim akasim behem shiv shiasem ben arba esiris ushari ashemis. Some people had a custom, they would actually draw a picture with the form of a menorah, and they would put Hashem's name there with the pasuk Vashisha Shem Lenet Yisomid, and they would write out Hashem's name with the four letters, with other names of Hashem also. Menorah kizeh ha'yisun nikreis b'shem shvisi. It was referred to as a shvisi menorah. Hashem, and it will remind you that you don't talk during davening because you're standing in Hashem's presence. Okay, some people did that because of Shari Chuba Hashem to Ashur Shiroi Lazakai Lavatala Minig. He says that with such a minig, we shouldn't do it. Why? Kalpia Roy, Enam Shaman Saklav Kiroi. People are careless with this item. And then they let it hang out fall out into the streets. And you're talking about a very, very holy type of names of Hashem, Kabbalistically, etc. You don't let this thing fall to the ground. Hashem, it falls out of the sitter, it falls onto the ground, it's wet, it erases Hashem's name. It's not worth it. Okay. Venir the menorah sagdarlus some tsioris al klaf shekarben beis haknesses l'nei ha'omer, the ones they put in the shul by the, where you daven tachas tavos shel schuchis under a glass plate to protect it. Shein shayach mazeh atama now there there's not a problem. It's not there's no concerns less than all. That's not a problem. Ad kam l'shav that's the quote from the Shari Tshuva. But the ones that people would put in their seder that he thinks is improper. People put it by the omid without the glass protector. You should that we should stop. They put candles there, so there was smoke and there was heat, and that would cause the writing to be affected, and that's obviously improper. Okay. I just want to point out the Bir Halacha over here, the two Bir Halachas over here. The first Bir Halacha brings a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that before each one of the tefillahs, this is Yerushalmi, before each one of the tefillahs, the person should say a phrase. So the first Bir Halacha says, Nachon Moed Lizor Lomer Kodem Kol Sholosh Tefillahs. It's proper to say these following statements. The Hainu, B'Shachar, is before Shachar, you say the following phrase. You allowed me to come out of the darkness into the light. Thank you, Hashem, you allowed me to come out of the darkness. That's before Shachar. You say, Moedani, he doesn't quote, give you the whole quote. Some of the Siddurim have it printed. Thank you, I was able to get it, make it through the day. And then Marav, you say, Marav, he wrote it again, you say Hashem's name, Kashem Shayisi Bafelo, but Sisani Lo'erro, Kain Tosin and Mefelo. Just like I made it through yesterday, let me make it through tonight to the next morning. So it's proper to say those phrases before davening, each one of the tefillahs. So Rabbanan and his Siddur has some of the more modern Siddurim has become more in to put it in. Okay. The next Bir Halacha quotes the famous Chinuch. The Chinuch points out there are six mitzvahs which a person has to fulfill constantly.
Can I ask a basic question?
Yes.
What is in the Bir Halacha and why is it there specifically?
Usually the division between the Mishnah and the Bir Halacha is either because the Bir Halacha is where he's going to discuss something in greater depth why he said what he said in the Mishnah Berurah. Or it's something which he feels it's somewhat tangential. He doesn't want to put it in the Mishnah Berurah as the main basic halacha. So those are two reasons why something usually is in the Bir Halacha. There are exceptions, though. So over here in the Bir Halacha, he mentions that there are six mitzvahs which are mitzvahs t'midiyos, six mitzvahs which a person can do has an obligation to constantly do that. Most mitzvahs we know they have limitations. The six mitzvahs which though he goes through the six mitzvahs. I'm not going to read through all of them, but just outside the six mitzvahs, the first one is believing in Hashem. That's a constant mitzvah. Any moment you can stop and think about you believe in Hashem, you're mekayem a mitzvah. The second one is that you should not believe in anything else. So that's anochi and lo yilcha are constant mitzvahs. Then he goes to the third one is yichud Hashem, shema yisrael Hashem l'ked Hashem echad. There's nothing else but Hashem. Again, that's a constant belief. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that a person at any moment can love a Kaddish Baruch Hu, any moment he has to have Yir in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the sixth one is that a person should not allow yourself at any point in time to go after Machshavas Halev and Riyas Einayim, to be led astray by what you vision out there. Those are the six mitzvahs to Midias. The Chinuch mentions them in his introduction to the Sefer Chinuch, that these six mitzvahs are different than the other 607, that they're constant. And he does mention, each one of you get, when he gets to the mitzvah, he points out that this mitzvah is unique, that it's one of the six mitzvahs to midius. So he gets the mitzvah of Amunah, the mitzvah of Lo Yilcha, Yichud Hashem, Avat Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and he mentions that these are mitzvahs to midius, that these mitzvahs are constant. There's actually nowadays, of course, there's a Sefer and everything. There's a Sefer article put out called the Six Constant Mitzvahs. So you can go through the go to them. Barichas, you can look at them. Okay, let's hold it here.